Well, we're going to look at the Bible now, and our reading for today is taken from Luke's Gospel. We're back in our sermon series in Luke, chapter 22, verses 47 to 53, and it's the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. Luke 22, 47 to 53. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." That's God's word. Excuse me. While he was still speaking. If you were watching last week, you'll know that Jesus ended the passage by saying, "Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And that was what he was instructing his disciples to do. And as he was saying that to them, one of his disciples comes with a crowd of people with swords and clubs to arrest him. And the other prayer that we looked at last week that Jesus prayed in the passage was, "Your will be done." And in saying that, we said Jesus was accepting of the will of God. He had prayed, "God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but yours be done." God's will was that the suffering servant would die for the sins of the world. And that was in Scripture, and Jesus accepted that. He was submitted and accepting God's will for his life. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to look at the arrest of Jesus, the reaction of Jesus, and the submission of Jesus. And I accept the submission of Jesus has come up quite a lot over the past few weeks. And I have to say, I've found that a great challenge. And we'll talk about that when we get to point three. The arrest of Jesus, the reaction of Jesus, the submission of Jesus. The arrest of Jesus. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus is handed over with a kiss. Now think of a kiss. It's something we do when we love someone, when we want to show our love or affection. It's something we do when we want to comfort someone. If someone's crying, you might give them a hug and a kiss, or say thank you to someone. Someone gives you a nice gift, you give them a hug, you give them a kiss. In other contexts, it's a symbol of reverence. If you go to many temples of many religions, they'll kiss a statue or kiss an icon, or kiss a holy book. It's also a recognition of authority. Kings used to have their feet kissed. In Britain, even when someone becomes prime minister, they kiss the Queen's hand as a mark of respect for her authority. And in every one of these cases, it's positive. You know, it's a symbol of love, gratitude, affection, reverence, respect. And it's a very intimate thing, and that is how Jesus is handed over to be arrested, with a kiss. A kiss. Proverbs 27 verse 6 in the King James Version says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And that certainly was the case here. Judas was turning his back on his Lord, who he'd followed for 3 years, and he did it with a kiss. Now think on this for a minute. We're told in Scripture that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbour as ourselves. Judas was breaking God's law here for money. We're going to just compare the two ways to live. When we look at Jesus and when we look at Judas, Judas was breaking God's law and turning his back on his Lord for money. Jesus had just prayed, God, your will be done, and I'll do it, whatever the cost. Jesus isn't just, as I've said, Jesus doesn't just practice what he preaches, he practices what he prays. It's amazing. He's amazing, our Lord Jesus Christ. But Judas turns away. And think on that for a few minutes. He knew Jesus. He'd heard him preach. He'd heard him pray. Seen him minister. Seen him do miracles. Been given the power to do miracles himself as an apostle. And then he turns away for money. His heart wasn't with Christ. When I was a young Christian in 2005, I came across a book by J.C. Ryle. I've mentioned him quite a few times. I've mentioned his book, Holiness. He's wrote a commentary on Luke's Gospel that I constantly look at. But he also wrote a book called Practical Religion, and that was the first book I ever got of his. It was the first book by a Reformed author that I ever read, and there's a chapter in it on the world. And I have to tell you, when I read it, it knocked me sideways. And he talked about what Scripture talks about the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world or the things of the world. Whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And when we say the world, we don't mean literally planet Earth. We mean the system of the world and the system of God. The system of the world is against the things of God. God's will for our life in the Bible and the world's will for our lives, materialism, sexual immorality, worshipping other gods. Many religions are worldly. They're trying to earn favour with God through good deeds. We know that it's by God's grace. But it's all about us. And Judas here is behaving in a worldly fashion. He breaks God's law for money. Now, it's not that wanting money is wrong. That's why we go to work. That's why we train and learn a skill. It's so we can... And the Bible talks about working, doing a job and sharing with those in need. But when breaking God's law for financial gain is done, that's worldliness. That's the love of the world. That's sin. That's doing wrong. And Judas was turning his back for money. All for 30 pieces of silver. He was looking for money to fill a space in his life that only God can fill. And he turned his back on his Lord with a kiss. A sign of respect, affection, and love. J.C. Ryle says in his book, On the World, he says, the world slays many souls. Many of them look like Christians. And Judas would have looked like a Christian, but he wasn't. Because he secretly loved the world. He loved it more than he loved his Lord. And that's the sad truth. The Christian life will cost us. It cost Jesus his life to do the will of God. It won't, I don't think ever cost us. We'll never be persecuted to that extent. I hope. We're blessed in that we live in a relatively free country where freedom of religion is allowed and practiced. But following God will cost us our sins. We'll have to give them up, the things that are contrary to God's will. We will have to stop doing them. It'll cost us our love of the world. Many things that are innocent in themselves but remind us of sin in our lives, we may have to give them up. It may cost us friendships. It may strain relationships. But that's what God calls us to do. It cost Jesus his life, and Judas wasn't prepared to pay that price. Are you prepared to pay that price? Examine yourself. The reaction of Jesus. Verse 49. And when those who were with him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. So the disciples see what happens and what's about to happen, and then they take up arms. In verse 38, a few weeks ago, we looked at it, and they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. So they had swords, and they took up arms. And it's interesting, they're all very brave when they have swords, but later on, as you know, they abandon Jesus. And it's typical of human nature, usually men, that when they've got a weapon, they can be all macho and brave. But when they've not got them, they are not so brave. They're cowardly. I mean, they may have panicked. They may have, out of sheer love, realized, oh gosh, this is going to happen. We must do something. But Jesus says, no more of this. And not just that. I mean, the servant of the high priest has his ear cut off. And Jesus heals him. So again, Jesus practiced what he preaches. He's practiced what he's prayed. Now he practiced what he preaches. In the Sermon on the Mount, he told us to love our enemies and to turn the other cheek. And here he is doing it. And more than that, you know, he's not just turning the other cheek. He's showing immense kindness to someone who's about to take him away to be crucified and has been injured. He's healed miraculously. He says no more, no violence, and he heals one of the people who's going to take him away. We see that elsewhere in Scripture, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. The writer says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. And Paul wrote in Romans 12, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And so here we have the contrast between the disciples and Jesus. The disciples go to war, as it were, and Jesus blesses those who are persecuting him. So Jesus is the one who obeys God perfectly. Jesus is the one. And again, he does a miracle. Grace the Lord Jesus Christ has to those who would take him away to be crucified. What tenderness, what love, what kindness. He's staggering, the Lord Jesus is. And remember, Jesus always pointed to the heart. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, it's not enough that you just don't kill somebody. It's not enough that you just don't commit adultery. You can't lust. You can't be angry at them or hate them. And the scriptures are summed up by love your neighbour. So it's not just not killing them. You have to love them. So you can do the right thing. You can bless those who are persecuting you, but in your heart, hate them and want bad things to happen to them. Jesus says, no, Jesus would have felt compassion for this person. And he'd have done it from a heart of love. If you're struggling today, know that you have a Saviour who loves you like that. If you've let the Lord down this week, know that he's ready to take you back, to give you a new start. Indeed, if Judas had said sorry, Jesus would have took him back. Know that there is, as the old hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. There's grace, compassion and love with our Lord Jesus, as high as the heavens are above the earth. And doesn't this also condemn us? And indeed, if the church over the past 2,000 years had behaved like this, we wouldn't get as much stick, because the church hasn't always behaved like this. Many times in church history, Christians went from being the persecuted to coming to power and then persecuting other people. That's not the way. That's not the way. Spreading the gospel must be done through preaching the word, through kindness and love, and through good deeds. Never through the sword or military or force. Indeed, this land of ours, England and Great Britain, many people were persecuted because of their religion in the name of Christianity. It's not right. It's not what Christ wants us to do. He loved those who persecuted him. And that's what we should do. So, if people do ridicule you, make fun of you, because of your Christian faith, you fail to love them, as hard as it might be. Some of you, it may be your families that do this. It might create a strain. Speaking of J.C. Ryle, I read his biography of his. It was the last book I read. And he became a Christian. And he was one of, I think, 7 children. And him and his sister became Christians. And they were just tolerated in their house after that. That can happen. It doesn't always, and you're blessed if it doesn't, but it does happen a lot. But we have to go the way of Christ. But we should never, ever respond with bitterness, resentment, or anger, or hate. Ever. We must love. And then the submission of Jesus. Verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." The Lord Jesus here accepts what's going on. But he challenges them. He says to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs?" You know, there was a crowd against 12 people, 11 disciples and Jesus. And they came, a crowd with clubs and swords. And Jesus said, "In broad daylight, you didn't do this. I was in the temple all the time. And you never once lay hands on me. But now, and look at what they're doing. He's alone. It's night. No one will see. It's under cover of darkness." We use that phrase. It's a common phrase. And they drag him. The next passage, it says, they seized him and led him away. All under cover of darkness. Not in the open, where there'd be moral accountability, where people could question, but in a sinister, underhand way. Jesus challenges them on that. But, he says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus submits to the sovereignty of God, and the sovereignty of God is the belief that God is ruler and Lord of all time and space and everything that happens. Nothing happens without his say-so. Indeed, in one very real sense, the prayer, "Your will be done," is a prayer of acceptance, not a prayer of giving God permission. You know, in Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all he pleases." He does what he wants. God doesn't need our permission. In the Bible, we're called dust and ashes compared to God. Has dust ever stopped you from doing what you wanted? No. Neither can we. But accepting God's will is a mark of spiritual maturity. And Jesus is the most spiritually mature of all of us. But here's the truth, that everything that happens, happens because God has decreed it. And this was going to happen. Jesus was going to be led away. He was going to be numbered with the transgressors. He was going to be despised and rejected and mocked because God had decreed it. Isaiah 53. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He went meekly with them, because that was God's will. And Jesus, as I've said, was completely accepting and submitting to the sovereignty of God. And as I say, this has been a challenge for me, because it's been, for all of us, a very difficult year. Coronavirus pandemic, rules have changed again in the past few days, numbers are going back up, there's more uncertainty. Many newspapers carried the headline, "Christmas is cancelled," and whatnot. We don't know what's going to happen. Many of us are suffering with other things. My family, we've lost Peter. That's Simone's side of my family. My side of the family, we've had one or two. Nobody's died, but people have been ill. And we've had years of political uncertainty. There's a US election this year, as we know. And it's difficult. It's been a difficult time. But in all this, we have to trust and obey. Trust God that he is on the throne, and obey his commands. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which is one of what's called the wisdom books in the Bible, Solomon, who wrote it, well, we think Solomon wrote it, talks about, you know, how pointless life is, trying to work things out, why things happen. It's all completely pointless. It's vanity. We work hard, we die, somebody else gets our money. It's all vanity. He goes on and on and on and on and on. And then he says, let's hear the end of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So have fear God, have that loving reverence for an almighty God, and keep his commandments. Do his will as found in scripture. In all your ways acknowledge him. So do the revealed will of God in the Bible, and he will direct your paths. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we can do God's will as revealed in the Bible, and then trust God with the rest. Even when it's hard, even when we don't understand, even when it hurts, and we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is thankfully not just our example but our rescuer. He is the one who died to save us. So, bringing all this together, I suppose one application is give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about him. Think about how much he loved God and how much he loves you. And so gazing on him and meditating on him and thinking about him will become more like him. And because this example of Jesus here is really hard. The way he submits to God's will, loves his enemies, moves forward, doing what God's asked him to do. It's really, really hard. It's really challenging, I think. You know, do I really want to pay that price? You know, I struggle with sin. You know, Jesus said, he didn't mean it literally, but he said, you know, cut off your arm and dig out your eye if you sin. And it was a metaphor. It was using intense language to make a point. Am I prepared to pay that price, to give up sin and to walk in the way of God? It's a challenge. So gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, read about him, sing about him, think about him, love him, and see that he is our rescuer. And indeed, trust God and get going. Fear God and keep his commandments, like Jesus did. Again, I quoted at Peter's funeral, I quoted Richard Baxter's hymn. I think I quoted it last week in the sermon. But the first verse is, Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve you is my share, and this your grace must give. It's a miracle of grace that anyone is a Christian. So if you're not a Christian today, we would invite you to come to Jesus Christ, who is the one who lived God's will perfectly for us, who's the one who died the death that we should have died, and who loved his enemies, who accepted God's will, and is now exalted to the right hand in glory, where there are pleasures forevermore. So come to him this very day and receive all that he has for you, the hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.